Addition. 80.
Did we make it?
Nate heard Debbie's question but didn't know how to answer it. His arms were wrapped around Veek and hers around him. He could smell her hair and the masculine shampoo she used because it was cheaper. He opened his eyes and they were sticky with blood. Veek shifted in his arms and he got one of his hands up to wipe his eyelids as best he could. Zila yelped.
We're not dead, she announced. My leg still hurts like all hell. You and me both, muttered Veek, putting her hand on her stomach.
Nate sat up. The seven of them were sprawled on the floor of Clive and Debbie's apartment. Blood streaked their faces. Around them, the brainchild of Alexander Kotorovich and Nikola Tesla hummed as it had for over a century.
Dark out, said Roger.
No, said Debbie. She was smiling. There's a building in the way.
They got up and staggered to the shattered window like a pack of grinning drunks. A wall of rust-colored bricks faced them, even darker in the twilight hours. They looked up and saw a little girl staring back at them. She waved at the strange-looking grown-ups, and they all waved back.
Hang on, said Veek.
Her phone was powering up, and Nate saw a spinning icon as it tried to sync itself with the network it had been separated from. She let out a little laugh.
It's Tuesday night, she said. We've been gone for 4 days.
Fuck, said Roger. So gonna get fired.
They hugged each other and laughed, and after a few minutes, some of the laughter became tears. Roger got fired, but found a new job by the end of the week. Veek had been fired too, but didn't care. By a stroke of luck, Clive didn't have any work scheduled for the days they'd been somewhere else. Debbie and Zila both had classes to catch up on. There was no other sign anyone had noticed their absence. No news crews, no police activity, no concerned notes. Somehow, the Kavach building had kept its presence in the real world even as it carried them somewhere else. The other tenants who hadn't crossed over were more concerned with the sudden wave of vandalism. Half the windows broken, the front door wrecked, and the steps cracked in 3 places. The bodies vanished from the slab of concrete in the back. Aside from the blood in the hallway, there was no sign of them. Once Nate and Veek mopped the halls, even that was gone. They found sheets of plywood out back by the now restored fence. Clive put them over the broken windows. Debbie went to health services on her campus and learned Andrew had cracked 2 of her teeth. She couldn't afford crowns, so they were both pulled. The gap was far enough down her jawline it didn't show, but she talked with a lisp for a few days. Zila also went to health services and said she'd been injured while moving an oversized picture frame. The doctor told her she was lucky the glass had missed arteries, berated her for taking so long to get it checked, and explained it was too late for stitches. She was going to end up with a scar. Her leg was wrapped and taped. He said to keep it clean and gave her a pair of aluminum crutches along with a bottle of Vicodin. Nate's hip got better, and the bloodshot eyes he and Roger shared healed up in a week. Veek had a bruise the size of a grapefruit on her side for most of that time and winced whenever she laughed or breathed too hard. Mandy was past her shock and well into denial. She'd sat silently in Debbie and Clive's apartment for almost a day after they got back. Then she got up and walked back to her apartment. 2 days later, Nate saw her on the stairs, and she acted confused when he asked how she was doing.
I fell down and hit my head, she told him. That's all, nothing else happened.
He decided not to push it. They went up one night to watch the sunset, but the roof was a different place without the wooden deck. It didn't feel the same for a number of reasons, one of the big ones being the lack of a retired publisher who wasn't a publisher. Nate and Veek stayed together every night. They worked in his room and slept in hers. Her room was once again at a constant 69 degrees. Sometimes, late at night, they talked about the machinery in the walls and the things on the other side. On one night, they talked about Andrew and the family of the Red Death. 2 weeks passed, and when they couldn't avoid the issue any longer, they all met in the lounge.
Rent's due the day after tomorrow, said Nate. Someone's going to notice Oscar's missing if they haven't already.
What if we all just put our checks under his door? Offered Zila.
Don't think that'll cut it, said Roger. Anyone's gonna know something's up.
Nate nodded.
I'm just thinking,
He paused and wondered if there was a better way to phrase his suggestion. Veek knew what was coming and squeezed his hand. I'm thinking maybe no one wants to be here this weekend. Debbie raised an eyebrow.
Why?
Because I think there are going to be a lot of questions, said Nate, and I don't think we're going to be able to answer them.
You think we should all move? Asked Clive.
I just think you should all be somewhere else, Nate said. Go stay with friends out of town for a night or two.
Roger shook his head.
Just come looking for us, won't they?
Yeah, said Zila. I mean, this is all super secret government stuff, right?
They won't, said Nate, because they're going to find me.
No,
said Clive. Debbie shook her head.
Nope, she said. It'll be okay, said Nate.
Why you, bro?
Because I'm the guy in charge, Nate said. Remember?
Captain goes down with his ship, snorted Clive. That's messed up.
Nate shrugged. I owe it to Tim, he said, and Oscar and Mrs. Knight. They're all dead because of what we started. They deserve a little bit of, I don't know, justice? Peace?
He shrugged again. You can stay if you want, but you don't have to, and I won't blame you if you don't.
Veek squeezed his hand. Zila reached out and grabbed the other one. The surviving tenants of the Kavetch building's trip to the other side took each other's hands and said nothing for a few minutes.
You know what I want, said Nate, breaking the spell. I want to be around people. Lots of people.
Yes, said Debbie. Somewhere that smells good.
Thai food,
said Roger. He patted his backside and his hand came back with a wallet.
On me.
I want to change my shirt real quick, said Zila.
It's just the Thai place, said Clive.
I've got paint on me, said the blue-haired woman, and I stink.
I should change too, said Debbie.
Yeah, said Nate. I could grab a different shirt.
Fine, said Roger. 5 minutes in the lobby. If you're not all there, I'm going without you and eating egg rolls alone.
You'll wait, said Zila.
She kissed his cheek.
Not for egg rolls, said Roger.
Nate squeezed Veek's hand and climbed up the back staircase. He looked at his door, 28, then turned to look at Mandy's door. He turned his head down the hall to 26. He half expected to see Tim there, giving him a casual wave. His eyes drifted down, staring through the floor to apartment 14, the room that had started so much of this. He opened the door and tried to remember if his favorite striped shirt, his deep space shirt, was clean. Then he froze. There was a man in a dark suit waiting inside his apartment.